Good morning.
Hallelujah.
He is risen. Thank you for joining us this Easter morning. What a celebration we will have once we are able to be together again. For this morning's scripture, we read from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Well, in college, I learned that I could not prove by scientific method of Jesus' existence on earth, and therefore, I could not prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Because to prove anything scientifically, I would have to have a controlled testing environment in order to compare and to contrast it to an uncontrolled testing environment. In fact, we can't even prove that you were in church during the month of January by scientific method. However, we can prove your attendance by a couple of historical methods. One is by the evidence found on the pew sheets that we hope that you sign when you are present. The other is by eyewitness. Now, if we only had one eyewitness and the rest of the congregants stated that they didn't see you present, that one eyewitness's testimony would probably not carry much credibility. What makes Easter so amazing and so exciting is that Jesus' resurrection is proven by historical fact. In fact, over 500 witnesses existed, not only evidenced in scriptural references, but also evidenced within historical secular texts that record the presence of Jesus following his death on the cross and the burial in the tomb. In 1981, Josh McDowell published his book, The Resurrection Factor, which contained portions of his dissertation. Now, what I appreciate about McDowell is his conversion experience. He originally began his dissertation, researching it, to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. However, after he researched, and after he learned the facts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he found the evidence was so overwhelming that he had no choice but to believe. More recently, another writer, Lee Strobel, who was also an atheist turned Christian, published a similar book entitled The Case for Easter, first published in 1998. This morning we are focusing on the historical witnesses, those accounts that make Jesus' resurrection indisputable. Now we don't have time for all of the evidence, however, so we have selected a few key pieces.
We know, first of all, that the fact that the tomb was empty is not enough proof. The fact that Jesus' body was missing is not enough. In addition, there were no eyewitnesses to Christ's actual resurrection. No human eye saw the transition take place. However, this does not make Jesus' resurrection bunk or any less significant. Three of the four Gospels plus the book of Acts addresses Jesus' resurrection and how many witnessed him after his crucifixion and burial. For example, to Mary Magdalene,
found in John chapter 20.
Also to the other women,
Matthew 28.
In addition to Cleopas and another disciple on the road to Emmaus,
Luke 24.
To 11 disciples and others,
also Luke 24.
Also to 10 apostles and others, with Thomas absent,
John 20.
In addition to Thomas and the other apostles,
found in John also chapter 20.
To 7 apostles,
John 21.
Also to the disciples,
Matthew 28.
And finally, with the apostles at the Mount of Olives before his ascension,
Luke 24.
Even in the creed found in 1 Corinthians 15, we find the only place in ancient literature in which it is claimed that the resurrected Jesus appeared to 500 people at once. The Apostle Paul states, beginning with verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep," meaning that they had died. The number of 500 at one time is not unbelievable. After all, Jesus had spoken to as many as 5,000 at a time before, especially as we recall the loaves and fishes incident.
I love how the book of Acts, which is the recordings of the early church, emphasize the appearances of the resurrected Christ. In fact, it is their theme in nearly every context of which they speak. For example, in Acts 2:32, Paul states, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact." Again, in 3:15, he repeats, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." In 10:41, Paul even states that this resurrected Jesus was not a ghostly figure, but flesh and blood, who ate and drank with Cornelius. In addition, we have the disciples eating fish with Jesus on the beach following the resurrection. Apostle John records this loving, touching scene as the disciples are found fishing after Jesus' death, returning to what was familiar to them. They are physically and emotionally spent. In chapter 21, we have Jesus calling out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" When they reply no, Jesus tells them to fish in an unaccustomed way, to throw the nets on the other side. I believe Jesus was demonstrating to them that he too had crossed over, and so must they as well, in order to be fruitful. After all, we, even today, cannot return to who we were before when once we find Christ. God has called us, once we know Christ, to pull all of our resources from the other side, from his side. Now, John recognizes that it is indeed Christ that's calling him from and calling them from the shoreline. And he tells Peter, it is the Lord. Don't you love that? Jesus had called them friends. They call him Lord. Peter sets the pace of joy by leaping out of the boat to swim toward Christ. And the other disciples follow suit. And they had a lovely meal with their Lord and with their friend.
We have the same opportunity to meet with Christ in spirit each day, every morning and every night, because if Jesus overcame the grave, he is still alive and available to us every moment of every day. John chapter 1, verse 12 assures us of this. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Lee Strobel puts it in a formula. He states it in this way. Believe plus receive equals become. We are disciple of Christ, all of us, because we believe the evidence in front of us. We know that Jesus historically lived, died, and rose again. It is a historical fact. By this belief, we can have, at any age, an authentic spiritual transformation. We can be just like the butterfly in the spring. We can evolve from the former state of godlessness to saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's face it, a relationship with Jesus Christ changes lives. Because he lives, we live. We serve a risen Savior. The words of Alan Jackson rings true in the song that he wrote, entitled, He Lives. This is one that we all know very well. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let us pray together. Oh, dear God, thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and the power in your name. Thank you that you hold the keys over death, that by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan and that you made a way. We confess, dear God, our need to you, fresh, new, again. We ask that you renew our hearts, our minds, and our lives for the days ahead. and we pray for your refreshment over us. Please, God, wash over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us and help us to keep focused on what is pure and what is right. Oh, dear Lord, give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing his lies and attacking our way, well, we trust, God, that your voice speaks louder and stronger, reminding us that we are safe with you and that your purposes and your plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and our rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles, and covering the pitfalls. Lord, dear Lord, lead us on your level ground. Shine your light, God, upon us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world, within our community, within our church, and within our family, for your glory and for your purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans for us, within us, through us, succeed. We may reflect your peace and a hope to a world, Lord, that so desperately needs your presence and your healing. May we reflect this. Thanks be to you, God, for your indescribable gift. To you be glory. To you be honor on this resurrection day, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.